Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me today. We have my guest is Yvonne, and welcome to the podcast of Creating an Impactful Legacy. And Yvonne and I spoke to each other quite some time ago, so we're finally able to have a real live conversation with you all today. So, Yvonne, tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you get into the work you're doing now?
Oh my goodness. Well, first, Mary Lynn, how much time do we have now? Thank you so much. I
Take
love
whatever
being
time
here.
you
I
need.
yeah. So I'll make a 57-year story a little shorter. I was a nurse for 27 years, worked in 10 different hospitals in the US and Canada, and there was this common thread, and I realized that we as a society are very ill prepared for grief, transitions, end of life, the messiness of life. And as a healthcare professional, I was very good at pushing all of that aside. And people think we're really good at it, and we're not. We avoid it like everyone else. And I suffered excessively. And then I had personal crisis in my life when our son went down a very dangerous road of drugs and addiction. I realized that I was ill prepared. I was suffering, but I was doing the, we've all had the conversation. Hi, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, thanks. If you need anything, let me know. The fake, I'm fine. And I couldn't do it anymore. And people were avoiding me because they didn't know what to do or say. So it was in that moment that I thought, wow, if healthcare professionals don't know how to support one another in these messy journeys, who's teaching communities to do that? Right. So I started asking that question, and everyone just kind of should, I don't know, Yvonne, just do your job. It's just the way it is. Like, you're right, stop stirring the pot. So I could no longer be a part of the problem. I needed to do something different to create change. I had no idea what I was doing, took a leap of faith, left nursing in 2015, wrote my book, Love Your Life to Death, and shared stories that were a game changer, life changer for me. And as they say, the rest is history. I became a speaker, consultant. I did a TEDx and I created this program called Get Ready for Grief. None of that was on my radar. And so it's been this wonderful, incredible, heartwarming, heart-wrenching journey in the second act of my life. And that kind of sums it up.
No, that's awesome because I think we all follow our hearts when we're going to deal with the end of life stuff or grief and all that stuff. It's just a calling, like you were saying, follow your heart or a calling or whatever. Somebody would say to me, well, how did you decide to get into it? Well, I didn't decide one day to jump into it. There's you have an
You don't
experience.
decide this. Like, why do you want to talk about grief and death and hard things? I said, I didn't choose this, it chose me. Right? But it's interesting though, because grieving, as we don't understand grieving, and everyone, many people believe you grieve when someone's dying and you're crying, and it's like we experience grief throughout our lives. And we talk about mental health issues and all of these other issues, and I say, well, being ill prepared for grief, unresolved grief, people who are not supported in their grief, I promise you that will cause or compound mental health issues, emotional, physical health issues. And we can do it differently. We can do it differently. I know because I'm walking my talk.
Yeah, absolutely. And the grief thing, everybody thinks, like you say, it's just, oh, of grief at the end of your life. Oh, I'm not going there. But we're always dying and grieving throughout life, right? The dying part is this
Absolutely.
is a situation or a relationship or whatever, right? There's always that grief. So how do you help people grieve, deal with their grief? Do you have a way of which you do that?
Well, the first thing that I had to do was no longer be like I was as a healthcare professional, and I needed to walk my talk. I needed to teach myself first, right? So I just kind of, as I was writing my book, I went on this personal journey and a spiritual journey, and realized that I needed to become proactive, not reactive. And we all, oh, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about the hard stuff. And I say to people, I get it, of course. Don't wait till you want to talk about it. Because we know we're all reactive, right? We wait till we're in crisis, something awful happens, and then we're like a turtle on our back trying to navigate through. And so I said, before I can share anything with anybody else, I need to figure this out for myself. Because I was a nurse, again, in many departments, and for 15 plus years of that was in a chemotherapy clinic. And I have seen excruciating sadness. I have seen people die at all ages. And I would witness people over here who maybe there were two people, maybe in their 40s, and each one was terminal. They were going to die, within a few months. And this family over here was laughing and crying and angry and having messy conversations and having real conversations and saying, you know what, this treatment is no longer helping. We would like comfort. We're going to go home and let our loved one play with the dog and be home where she wants to be, and we're going to surround her and love her till her last breath. Same scenario, but this family was very ill prepared, very angry and bitter, and there was no eye contact, no love, no tears, and we're going to treat till the end of life, and we're never going to give up. And I watched the two, and this family, the person died in peace and they grieved and shared memories, and this per family fractured beyond repair because everyone, had different ideas and they never spoke again. And that person died in fear and anger. And so what that showed me is that both are possible. Both are possible. So I needed to understand that in my own life and to become proactive. So I started with become filling that gap before grief arrives. I have to start with, what do I believe about life and death? Right? Because if we have an acceptance, if we choose to believe something that will create a soft landing in our lives, if we choose to believe something that will help us navigate when somebody dies or we have a diagnosis, then we can get to living our life fully and not in fear. Right? I mean, I don't want to tell everybody, I'm sorry if you don't know that. I believe this journey we call life ends with the death of our physical bodies. I mean, we're not meant to live forever. And so I always say I hadn't started caring less. I just started accepting more. I accepted that we are all here as long as we are here. For some people, that's 5 minutes, some 5 years, some 50, some 100. And to get mired in the why? And that's what I used to do. I'd go home, keep the chemo clinic. Why? She had kids and she was so young, and I would drink a bottle of wine and I was just a mess. And then I would go back the next day, brush myself off. Instead, I wanted to change and say, I don't know why this person is here for 3 decades and that's all. It is not my job to judge, to fix, but I'm going to love her till the very end of her life. Right. And so I changed it because I prepared. I mean, the advanced care planning and all that, please. Of course we should all do that. Let's not even go down that road. We don't have enough time. We should all plan our life and our end of life. I mean, that is our responsibility. I did that. I got this, this firm belief about life and death. And I choose to believe that when our physical bodies are meant to die and it's all, we don't know. We don't always have a warning, and we don't all die of old age. I don't like it, but I accept it. And I know that that does not end a relationship. Our physical, our spiritual, we stay connected forever, right? Our spiritual, that spiritual connection, energy does not, it cannot be destroyed or created. Like that's science. So, right? So that gives me comfort. So again, I went on my own journey, right, of belief and knowing that someone who is dying is still living, right? And you, as a death doula, you certainly know that you can, in that time, create beautiful memories and acknowledge and allow all feelings, be messy, be human, and it can be a beautiful experience. So if we can see death as not the enemy, That is a wonderful place to start.
Right.
Right. And then I moved to grief and I felt like, what is, we talk about grief. What is grief?
Yeah.
And I came to, I continuously learn from others, right? I continuously learn and I connect with people who have been in the deepest trenches of grief, got through to the other side to find joy in their lives again, and I share their stories. And so for me, I said, well, grief is our mental, physical, and emotional reaction to loss, transitions, and some change. Sometimes it's even a good change.
Right.
And there's many examples. Our children are getting ready to go off to college or university next year. I'm already apologizing to them about what a hot mess I'm going to be. These kids are like magical unicorns, and I'm going to be absolutely devastated
Right.
and joyful, right?
Yeah.
Because grief and joy can coexist. Grief is a part of this journey and sometimes the price of living and loving.
Right.
It's worth it, and our hearts will heal if we learn how to take better care of ourselves and each other and allowing our hard feelings, right? That's how they loosen their grip, but we want to push them away. I did it for years, spread red wine. Feel that?
Didn't work.
It didn't, when I woke up in the morning, then I just felt like crapola and I was still grieving. So, to know that we can feel our feelings, our hearts have a limitless, there's no limit to how much we can love, right? And so I continue to connect with people who are doing this differently, right? And learning. So in writing my book, and I created my program, Get Ready for Grief, which is like seven takeaways that I believe are essential principles so that we can all live, grieve, and die well. And I continue to learn. I continue to evolve. And I will till my dying day. And then
Yeah,
I'll
we
be a
all,
spirit.
yeah, no, we're all learning and learning from each other. And I guess,
Absolutely.
and for me too, it's like, it's really about self-care. If you're looking after yourself, then you can help support somebody else so much easier because you know that, what, where you come and how you come in and out, where you're, I don't know if you want to call it boundaries, but just knowing how you can accept somebody else so much easier because you've taken that time for yourself already, right? I don't know. But what do you think about that? Do you think anything is about the self-care at all or not?
Oh my goodness. So my seven takeaways, that's takeaway number four. And we created after I wrote my book, and I'll get back to that, I promise. I realized that when people don't know what to do and they don't know what to say, they avoid, right? So then they feel awful. The person feels isolated. I mean, a lot of people avoided us when our son had addictions and was going to jail and stuff. That's not hard. You want to clear a room? Bring that to the table, right? And like we can bring humor everywhere. It's already serious enough. So I realized in that people are so terrified to do or say the wrong thing. And I said, well, when you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, just show up. Just show up. So we actually created the I Just Showed Up movement. And that's when I did my TEDx talk, that's what I spoke about. Teaching people of all ages, communities, and professionals how to just show up for themselves and each other. So they are empowered and resilient when grief arrives. And that's grief is divorce, diagnosis, job loss, mental health issue, whatever it may be. So takeaway number four is if you want to be able to just show up for others, it's non-negotiable. You must show up for yourself first. And for me, that self-care is beyond the, when I say to people, when we talk about self-care a lot. And many people think that we should be like a car that you don't put oil or gas in, but it should still run. Like that doesn't make any sense, right? You know that your car is not going to run. So why do we think that if we sleep for 2 hours, we don't eat well or drink water, we don't get exercise and we're mega stressed and we never go outside, that we're supposed to function well? Like that's just, I just want to say, like, just stop it. That's stop it, right? Like that just The very best version of you is your greatest gift to the world. The very least you can do is take wonderful care of your body. There are no
Right.
excuses.
Right.
Some work better than others. We've all had our issues. So it's a yes and that self-care, and also that's the becoming proactive, that belief about life and death, understanding grief, having a self-care toolbox so that when you are grieving, you can take care of yourself. And all of those other things are the bigger layer of self-care
Right.
so that you can just show up for others and not deplete yourself.
Right.
That's right. It's like you can give from your overflow because you're just so, you're checking in mentally, physically, emotionally, you're taking good care of yourself, and you know that you can't do everything, but you can do something. And just showing up for someone, and people say, I don't know what to say. And I say that. Be a hot mess, cry. I don't know what to say, but I'm here. I'm a disaster. I don't know. I'm sad too. Just let it all out, right? Just be human. And you will realize that beautiful, it's when we don't just show up for others and we know we tell ourselves we should, it chips away at our own soul, right? And then we talk about compassion fatigue and burnout. And I kind of flip it and I say, I understand it's overwhelming. Caring for others often is overwhelming. And the thing is that when we don't do it, and here's a very easy example, when I worked in Emerge and a patient would ask how long the wait is, and someone says, I don't know, stop asking me. It's very busy here. I don't have time for this. Now, to me, you've just injured yourself and that person because now they have very negative energy. You're not going to go home and say, it was really busy, but I was so nice to people. I feel good about myself. So if you want to avoid that burnout, that compassion fatigue, say to that person, I know it's so busy. I'm so sorry you're waiting so long. I promise I'm going to do the best I can. Take care. Right? Like it's the same amount of time. So there's those things that, when you have someone that your neighbor is struggling, and you keep saying to yourself, oh God, I should really talk to them. I should just show up. I should bake them a pie. Just go knock on the door and say, hey, I know this is rough. What you're going through is a lot. I'm here. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, but I'm here. We'll feed your soul. I tell people I'm a do-gooder. I don't even think it's because I'm a nice person. It just makes me feel so darn good. Right? Feed your own soul. Don't wait for other people to do it for you. There's a lot to learn. So, when you say, what do you share with people? I teach by example. So this is what I'm doing. I think that's the only way we can. And then, right, teaching others how to just show up for themselves and others. And that ripple.
Because it's very true. It's like, as you were saying, it's not just self-care, it's just how you show up for somebody else. Like, you don't even have to say anything, just say I'm here, or even just say, what can I help you with today, or is there anything, so whether you may not want to do it, but you said it, so maybe. And a lot of times people really don't know what they want either, right? You can
Well,
ask them.
that's the thing, and that's I wouldn't ask. Yeah, I would say, you know what? I'm here to help, and I mean that's my thing, bringing heart and humor. And I say I'm here to help because I need to feel better about myself. So I need to feel like I contributed. I'm not going to make you a pie because I don't bake. I don't like to cook. I know you have a dog. Can I walk the dog, or shovel the driveway, or just go shovel the driveway? Right? I'm going to shovel your walkway. We can help with life's daily tasks, right? And that also helps people feel supported. We can support the supporters, right? Like, so one person said, I keep trying to just show up for my friend, but they won't let me in because she has this circle. And I said, then support the supporters. Support the supporters, right? If they are there, if they are just showing up and leaving their homes, then they have stuff that they're just, right, hanging. And so it's so nice. Go shovel their walkway, or
Yeah.
you know, whatever can happen. Go cut the grass.
Yeah.
And my father-in-law, and it's a beautiful story because right across the street, good friends and their 30-year-old son died suddenly. And it was very sad and very tragic. And obviously they were devastated. And they went away for a night. And there's my father-in-law, you know, not knowing what to do. And he knew his friend loved when his yard looked, you know, nice and
Yeah.
tight. But of course it was disaster because that was the last thing on their mind. He just went over and cut the grass. And then when his friend came home, they didn't even say anything. They just stood in the driveway and hugged and cried.
Yeah.
Think, like, what a beautiful story.
Yeah.
You don't need to be a healthcare professional for that. You know, we have to stop professionalizing and medicalizing everything.
Right.
We all need to be a part of those compassionate communities. Our family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, we can all make the difference. And then that will relieve the burden of pressure on all the health care. Oh my gosh, like let's leave it to the professionals. Well, no.
Yeah.
We are
They
each
need,
other's responsibility.
yeah, they need support too.
Oh
Yeah.
my goodness, so
Yeah.
much. I mean, yes. I don't know if you heard about that pandemic, COVID, you know, did everybody hear about that? I mean, seriously. Our healthcare professionals, they need like so much love, right?
Yeah.
And they need us to just show up. They need us to be a part of taking care
Right.
of those who are needing care, needing, right? And again, we have to stop thinking it's all up to the professionals,
Right. Yeah. You know, and I
right?
think perhaps it's an opportunity just like for you, or but you're already doing it, but maybe perhaps for me is just, you know, stepping in. And sometimes we just have to tell people this is what you could do to help somebody else, because they may be stuck in their own stuff. Like, I got too much stuff going on. Well, okay, but can you be willing, or are you willing to go do that, or can you do that? And sometimes when people will come to me, well, what can I do? And I says, well, have you asked them? Or
Yeah,
you
that's
know.
a ask. I said, everybody, write this down. I have the answer.
Yeah.
Ask. Like, just go ask. We
Yeah.
didn't used to, you know, when we lived in community and we didn't have all these professionals taking care of everything.
Yeah.
I mean, people didn't have a choice. You just took care of one another,
Right.
right? And now we feel like we're incompetent. We can't do anything. It's like we've sanitized our society and suddenly, like, oh, my friend's having a hard time. What do I do? I don't know. They're seeing a therapist. I don't want to interrupt, or you know, and
Yeah.
like they've, well, go hug them.
Yeah.
You know, we've become so segregated in thinking that it has to be just the professionals, and our professionals are just like being crushed under the burden.
Right.
It's
Yeah.
not sustainable. It's not realistic. And I'll tell you, when I'm grieving and struggling, I don't just want my therapist that I'm paying to help me through this.
Yeah.
I want, you know, like I said, like when my TED talk, I shared that one of my most beautiful moments on one day that I just felt like everything just was falling apart and my heart was broken in a million pieces. She stopped by and she put a little pot of daffodils on my front porch
Yeah.
for the car. I didn't even see her. And I cried for an hour in my driveway, and 12 whatever years later, I'm still talking about it. Right? She just
Yeah.
showed up.
Yeah.
She just showed up.
Yeah. So tell us about a little bit more about showing up. What is it something that we should be more conscious of? Obviously, we need to be more conscious of it. But maybe are there ways, or do you talk about how you talk to your people about showing up? You've already said some ideas.
Love that question. Love that question. So with the I just showed up movement, right? So
Yeah.
I have the bracelet.
Right.
I never take that off because I also know when I'm grieving or something's uncomfortable, I'm struggling. So I say,
Right.
right, I need to just show up. And then it comes, and the card, here's the little card it comes with. Where's a reminder to just show up for yourself first, be the best version of you, right? Okay.
Okay.
Where, because you just showed up for someone, you made a difference, right? Or give one to someone to say thank you for just showing up for me.
Yeah.
How do you just show up? Hug, text, email, call, sit silently and listen. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, but I'm here. Put reminders in your phone. I am going to check in, whatever, every day, week, every month, until you tell me to lose your number. Put reminders in your phone. Know that it is not your job to judge or to fix it. Just showing up is, I have interviewed hundreds of people. That is what makes the difference. How long? However long it takes. Grief has no timeline. Helping with life's daily tasks, walk the dog, cut the grass, pick up the kids, bring food, invite them. Even if they keep saying no, come on over. You can just be with us. We're sitting outside. You don't have to talk. If you want to go, I'll drive you home. They say no, keep inviting them. Continue to include those who are grieving and, our forgotten grievers. Children are often the forgotten grievers, right? When adults are grieving, we forget about the children. They also need to grieve. Divorce. It's interesting, right? Because when somebody dies, there's a funeral, and we all say, oh my goodness, this person's grieving. Well, in divorce, when somebody dies, they didn't want to die and you're grieving. And in divorce, somebody chose to leave you, or you chose to have to leave, and your dreams are also crushed. And so that's the other thing I say, take the blinders off. When you're walking around your neighborhood, just start in your neighborhood, creating that compassionate community in your neighborhood. That's what we're doing. Take off the blinders and make it a point to just show up for three people. Hey Joe, hi, how are you today? That grass is looking good. Oh, do you need a hand with that? Try showing up for three people. And then, like when I'm struggling or grieving, or I say, I need to go just show up for a few people because, again, it feeds my soul. The possibilities are endless. Just show up and ask. Right?
Just as you're talking, it reminds me the three acts of kindness per day. It's just like reaching out to somebody and say, can I help you with that? Or, how can I support you? Or how can I help you today? And just do that. Just show up. And a lot of times, like you
Show
say,
up.
people may not know what they want or need, but just show up, just knock on their
Just
door,
do something.
do something,
It's always better to do or say something than to do or say nothing, right? And learn along the way. And that's, I'm learning, I am teaching, I will continue on this journey my whole life to teach people. And my website, like, it's wonderful resources. And be willing to be vulnerable and be willing to get it wrong. Right? Like, oh, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. That was a weird thing to say. Sorry. Right? Allow your humanness. Let's just show up for one another. And that will create social change in such a beautiful, positive direction that, right? That's what we need. Right? All the things that happen and all the things they are that are in place that are not working well, let's acknowledge that. Let's grieve it and say, now what? Now
Absolutely.
what? What
Now
can,
what?
how can we do this differently?
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your program and how people can get a hold of you.
If anyone goes to my website, loveyourlifetodeath.com, they can follow me and get tips. I have my show, of course, Win Win Women, every week, and my program, Get Ready for Grief. So proud of it. It's that lifetime resource, and it is the seven takeaways that I believe are essential principles. And I think that no matter what we're going through, as we move along in life, and in 6 months or 6 years, something else happens. It's like our brain becomes a brain fog, and that's why I want this lifetime resource, right? And I am always happy to connect with people. So if they go to my website and they can see my TED Talk, which is, I spoke to many different experts and people in creating that content, and I feel I've watched it to remind myself too, because I'm still human, and so I think the other big thing that I would always tell people is if you didn't just show up in the past, forgive yourself and
Yeah,
do it differently next time, right? We
right.
can do this differently, but society has normalized ignoring all of this. So, sometimes when people read my book, Love Your Life to Death, they think, oh my gosh, I wish I would have done this differently. I wish I would have known this then. And it's like, you can only do what you can do with the knowledge you have at the time. And now we can do it differently. So connect with me, learn, and just, I mean, my most important message when you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, just
Show
show
up.
up.
It's a perfect message actually, because when I was going through my training for the doula, it was like, oh my God, if I knew what I know now, I would have done it differently. But like you're saying, we all do what we know at the time, right? And we just
Absolutely.
learn from it and move on and help somebody else be better yourself
Absolutely.
or whatever it is, like you said, just show up.
Yes.
Show up. I just
Just
love it.
show up.
I just love it.
Well, and children really embrace this message, right? So we can, I say with our generations, it's a lot of damage control. But, right, let's help our young people learn how to just show up for themselves and each other so they do it differently. They do it better than we have.
Yeah, if you watch little kids, it's amazing. They just run up to somebody, give them a hug, and say, hey,
Oh, they
hi.
know how to just show up.
They just know how to show up. They
They
just go.
totally do.
But
Yeah,
obviously, yeah.
absolutely.
Okay,
Yeah.
great. Well, thanks very much for this time I'm spending with you, Yvonne. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoy your energy. You're such a go-giver and go-getter that I really
Thank you.
appreciate the energy and the vibe you put into your conversation and into your energetic of just showing up. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend Mary Lynn, and I so appreciate you as well and everything that you are doing to create change in the world. And so, namaste, my friend.
Yes,
And
namaste.
yes, and so everybody, just remember, when you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, just show
Show
up.
up. Yeah,
Just show
great.
up. That's
I love
it.
it. I
Just show
love it.
up.
Okay, well, we'll
Thank you
keep
so
sh just
much.
showing up. We'll keep showing up. Okay, thank you.
Awesome.
Okay,
Take care.
bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.